This morning we are celebrating our oneness in Christ, that there are millions of people around the world who are celebrating communion in places that are close by, that are familiar to us in downtown Pittsburgh or in Greensburg, but there are places where we would definitely feel like fish out of water, places that we'd never imagine being or going to, places in Nigeria where Christians gather. One of the largest churches in the world is in Nigeria. It can seat 50,000 people. That's the seating of the auditorium, 50,000 people. In the Philippines, we have a partnership with our churches in the Philippines. We have small churches in the Dakotas, house churches in Albania, where for many, many years during the Cold War, Albania was the most atheistic of the communist governments. So today we are surrounded not only by our ancestors, as the book of Hebrews says, but we are also surrounded by people today. We're celebrating our time together with one another. And what interests me about the book of Hebrews and the selection we read this morning is that the author, who is anonymous, we don't know who wrote it, starts with the community. He starts and he says, you know, God spoke one time in the past. God's word went out, as we heard earlier this morning. God's word went out and it doesn't come back empty. And that's why we're together here. Because God the Father spoke, that all of history, all of creation starts with God the Father, who shares his love for us. And he shares it how? He shares it through his Son, Jesus Christ, and all that Christ did for us while on this earth. The miracles, the teachings, most of all, his death on the cross to open the doors to us for heaven and for life eternal. God shared his love with us through his only Son, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, I share my love with you as disciples. Jesus talks to Peter and he says, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Jesus talks to his disciples. He says, I want you to go out and make more disciples. I want you to go until the message reaches all the ends of the world. Now, in some ways, we read this and we think, yeah, it must have been easy for the people who were hearing the gospel, or the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews for the first time, must have been easy for them to live and to be disciples, because they were not all that far away from when Jesus walked the earth. But now, for some of us, it seems very difficult. Jesus seems far away from us. As a matter of fact, one of the top 10 questions I've ever gotten in my ministry is, how do I connect with Jesus? He's somewhat of a mystery. How do I connect with Jesus? It's very hard for me to get connected with him in our modern technological society. There's always something going on. There's always computers and Facebook and cell phones and all that kind of stuff. And it seems like I get further and further away from Jesus. Well, the author to the Hebrews, although he didn't know anything about any of the technological advancements we had, he wants us to mature. He wants us to grow and mature. And he wants us to connect with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to me that the author of the book of Hebrews starts with a prayer. You may not have caught it. Perhaps you did, though. But when the author of the book of Hebrews says in chapter 2, verse 6, someone has testified somewhere, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? The author of the Hebrews is quoting Psalm 8. Psalm 8, that's the prayer book of the Bible. If you've ever noticed, if you open up your Bible, pretty much right at the center, you'll be in the book of Psalms. Pretty much any Bible you have, you can pretty much do that. You're pretty close. Sometimes you're a couple pages off, but the Psalms are the heart of the Bible. And the reason they're the heart of the Bible is because that's where the prayer life is. Every prayer emotion that you've ever felt, doubt, confusion, joy, love, happiness, that God is far away, that God is nearby, it's in the book of Psalms. And so God wants you to start with prayer. God the Father wants to share his love with you, not as if it's just some feeling, not just hoping or wishing for it to happen, but by prayer. And God has given us a model in the book of Psalms. The whole Bible is shot through with prayers. But if you don't know where to find a prayer in the Bible, don't feel stupid or don't feel like it's a dumb question. Ask somebody. Find somebody. If you don't know how to pray, ask somebody who does. And just because I pray differently than somebody else, that doesn't mean that we're praying wrong. There are as many different kinds of ways to pray as there are people. All great revivals, all great moments in spiritual life start with the foundation of an active, vital prayer life. Jesus modeled that. How often did Jesus go away from the crowds to go pray? He did it over and over and over again. Jesus says to the disciples, "I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to go away to live with my Father in heaven eternally, and I want you to continue praying because that is your connection to me, to my heart." The second thing is that the author of Hebrews says that Jesus was flesh and blood like us. Jesus, who is flesh and blood like us, is also, in verse 3, Jesus is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And Jesus sustains all things by his powerful word. Jesus, in other words, is the embodiment of the Father. Jesus is the way in which we are to look at God the Father. When you want to know about God the Father, you look to Jesus. For example, Jesus encourages his disciples to live by the golden rule: treat others as you want to be treated. That means, since Jesus told us to do that at the center of God the Father's very heart is the golden rule. And the amazing thing about Jesus, and we talked about this about a week ago at the wedding of William Knoll and Jennifer Schaffner, the amazing thing is that at the center of the golden rule is that Jesus not only says, live the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated, Jesus is the embodiment of the golden rule. Jesus is totally humble in himself, and he holds himself out as the example of the golden rule. He doesn't say, you guys live the golden rule, and I'm going to be a leader over here and do something else. Jesus becomes, he lives that golden rule. He doesn't say, love others like I want you to be loved. In the Gospel of John, he says, love others like I have loved you. So our houses, our lives shall be guided by God's heart. And when you want to know about God's heart, look at Jesus. The golden rule is just one example, because Jesus is the exact imprint of God's heart. Further on, it says that it is fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We are to be brought to glory in this moment. The author of the book of Hebrews says, you are to be brought into glory, and someday we will receive glory beyond this life. But right now, in this moment, the highest dignity that you have in this week is this hour, because you receive Christ in this hour. You are made holy in this hour. You receive Christ's gifts at the communion table. You are made holy. The word that the author of the epistle to the Hebrews uses is sanctified, which is a fancy word of meaning made holy. And there are many ways we are sanctified. There are many ways we are made holy. I read a story not too long ago that UCC missionary shared about South Africa and about being sanctified a few years back. It was in 2005 in South Africa, and one of the things that happens is hundreds of elderly folk wait outside in long lines for hours to collect their pension money, the way it's given out. They have to wait in line, and they have to go and visit a clerk, and the clerk will give them their pension money. It doesn't come through the mail. And they have to show up in person to get it. So regardless of the weather, whether it's the hot African sun or cold and damp winter rains, the old people, the elderly people, begin to assemble at 5 o'clock in the morning to wait for the Department of Social Welfare to issue their monthly pensions. And past this office where the pensions are given out, there is something called an Inanda Seminary. I think I'm saying that right. And it's a boarding school for girls. And it was started by Congregational UCC missionaries back in 1869. It's in Durban, South Africa. And the girls would walk by on their way to school every day, and they would see this long line of people waiting outside. And the students were really upset because a lot of these people, since they were elderly and were receiving a pension, they couldn't stand for very long. It was very difficult for them to do so. Many of them had health problems and aches and pains. So what did the students and the teachers decide to do? They decided that they would make sure that there were people there, students and faculty from the seminary, who distribute juice and cookies and who give them a place to sit down, who bring with them chairs so that they can sit, so that they can talk to somebody. They distribute juice and cookies. They distribute healthy snacks and things as a reminder that we are all one body. We are all members of the same body of Jesus Christ. So today we're sharing with those elderly folks waiting for their pensions in South Africa. We're sharing with the girls' boarding school that helps them. We're sharing with our global partners around the world, with our offerings, with the Gideons. We are feeding each other. We're feeding the poor in Westmoreland County or in South Africa. It is a privilege this morning to be one body, one cup, one faith, one Lord, together. Amen.